Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm just going to preach out of what God's doing there, and then we'll have our time of giving and some other things at the end. But I'm so glad we can be here today. We've already had a beautiful time in God's presence. Thank you, Jay. And what God's doing here and speaking a breakthrough. I said earlier, if you haven't met me, I'm Caitlin. I'm really blessed to serve in the pastoral team here at Breakthrough. I wasn't planning to speak today. Pastor Peter was gonna preach today, but we announced earlier he's been up all night, unwell, attacked in his body. His heart is to be here, and I'm so glad he's joining us online. He's been worshiping and praising with us right throughout this whole service. So Pastor Peter and Christine asked if I could speak, step in this morning to share, and I just felt to flow on from what God's been doing already in our church over the past few weeks. So I'm going to firstly pray, and then we'll just get into the word and what God has for us today. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, God, so much for the privilege it is to come to your word, Lord, to open up your word together as a body of Christ. Lord, it's such a privilege to come and meet together freely and lift up your name. I thank you, Lord, that this morning, Lord, as we come around your word, Holy Spirit, just guide everything. Lord, guide my words. May they not be mine, but yours today. Holy Spirit, just lead us in everything that we do. And I pray, God, that we can encounter you and be grown, Lord, by your word today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's such a pleasure to be here today. We're joining with people all over the world today, all over Australia, all in different nations around the world as well. So welcome. We love to be ministering with you today. I also said just a little bit about me, if you haven't met me, there are a few things I love in life. I love Jesus. I love his church. I love the word. And I also love coffee. Not in the same love that I have for God and his church, but I do also enjoy coffee. And this morning we have our Breakthrough Coffee Co., which we love. Who loves our Breakthrough Coffee Co. before or after service? Thank you, Jesus. And this morning I've tried Jasmine, one of our baristas there, I tried for the very first time. It's called a Magic, and I didn't know you could have these things. It's like coffee, but like two of them in one. And I didn't know these things existed till this morning. And Jasmine said, let me make you one of these. And I was like, this sounds wonderful. So I've got a few different, I'd already had a coffee before that as well. So I've got a few shots of coffee. Jasmine's like, oh, I didn't know that before I said you should have the magic. So I've got some shots of coffee in me. And she said, if you're like really like, if we're like, you know, buzzing on stage, and I see other people aren't buzzy, I might say, Jasmine, go out and make a magic for everyone. Come on, we need some caffeine in this room. No, we've got the Holy Spirit, even better. Amen. It's such a privilege to be here. I've grown up in this church, my parents have pastored this church. And before that was my grandparents pastoring this church. So I've grown up in Breakthrough. I love Breakthrough. Breakthrough's a part of my DNA. There was a point in my life when I was about 13 or so, I always loved coming to church. I was blessed with parents that involved us in everything. They didn't just go and do God's work and leave us at home. They brought us to every prayer meeting. You know, we would be here for late night prayer meetings. We might have sleeping bags under the pews, you know, as little kids, but we were here. We were amongst what God was doing. And I grew up loving God's church. And there was a moment when I was about 13, though, where I remember it became real for me. It wasn't just what I did because it's what my family did. There was a moment where I encountered Jesus, and I remember it so clearly. It was like he did a work in my heart, and I connected to God and his word for me, but then I also connected to this church in a new way. And I remember feeling like it wouldn't matter if everyone else left, I would still be here because God has planted me here. This is where God, I believe in the mission of this church and what God has called Breakthrough to, and I feel so blessed to be here. If this is your very first time at Breakthrough, a very special welcome. We love that we can join with you today. And like I said earlier, we can come from different backgrounds, but when we come together with Jesus, we can all be united by him. Amen. So welcome. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm ready for the word today. Amen. Turn to the other person and say, they didn't sound that excited, but I'm ready for the word this morning. No, well, I just wanted to pray. I just wanted to lean into what God's been saying to us. Last night, we finished our 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, and we had a prayer meeting last night, and it was such a powerful time in God's presence. His glory was here. And out of the prayer meeting, a few different words came out. And some of the words, and I just want to flow in from that, and something that he said to our pastor, Christine, was the fact that this isn't just the end of a prayer, a time of prayer and fasting. Don't think of it as the end, you know, of fasting and prayer. It was a launch. It was a launch into something. It's like, yes, we might have, you know, we might be coming to the end of that particular 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, but it was a launch into something else. Don't worry, I'm not suggesting the fast continues indefinitely. If the Lord says that to you, that's between you and Him. But I'm saying that time has been like a preparation time. We've been preparing for something that God has for us as a church, something that God has for each and every one of us as individuals. You know, and you might say, well, I wasn't here for the prayer and fasting. That doesn't matter. I'm so glad you're here right now because you're here for what God is doing and what God's got for us. And I believe He's been preparing us for something right now that He's launching us into. So I just want to open the Word this morning. Can you go with me to Matthew 28? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, this is a very well-known scripture, well-preached scripture. I'm going to read from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee. So where we are, Jesus has come to earth. He's died on the cross. He's been resurrected. He's shown himself to the disciples. He's the resurrected Jesus has been seen on earth. And then he's come into his time now where he's going to leave and go to heaven and leave us his Holy Spirit on the earth. So he says in verse 16, he's getting ready to go back to heaven, this time as a risen, victorious, glorious king. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them had doubted. All right. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, when it's convenient and it feels like a good time for you, go and spread the gospel." Or should we read it again? "Therefore, when there's no obstacles in your way and you're not feeling too tired from the stresses of life, go." Or "therefore, you know, when you have time in your busy schedule, go. Therefore, when you feel ready and everything's aligned right in your life, when you've had the proper training and equipping, when you've had enough practice, when you've had a mentor to show you the way, when you feel right and ready to go and tell people about Jesus and me, go. Therefore, when things in your life work out, when you haven't got too much work on your hands, therefore, when you know there's not too much on your to-do list and you can fit me in, no, that's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Go. Therefore, go. Turn to the person next to you and say, go.
Go.
Go. Therefore, thank you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But there, that part there, therefore go and make disciples. He is speaking to the body of Christ. He's speaking to those disciples, but through them and through now, we're disciples, thank you, because those disciples took the message, and then the disciples are there, took the message, and thank you, it's made its way to Australia, and here we are in 2026 in Australia, disciples of Jesus, and this command is still for us, the great commandment, and it says, therefore go and make disciples. Amen. Therefore go. There is no justification, there is no, when you're ready, there's no space for excuse. There is nothing. It says, he says, Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples. So I want to ask us this morning, church, What might stop us saying, therefore, go? What might be stopping me from therefore go and bringing the good news of Jesus? What might be stopping me from saying, therefore, go? Go and make disciples, followers of Jesus. Therefore, go and bring the good news of Jesus to everybody in my life. Therefore, go. If there are people around me that I know that don't know about Jesus, then I haven't therefore gone. Yes. If I haven't gone and told somebody who doesn't know about Jesus that I know about Jesus, then I'm not therefore going and saying, Lord, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of you. You've instructed me to therefore go and bring the good news of Jesus.
Yes.
Go. You know, there are so many, what might be holding us back? There are so many things that can hold us back from going. I'm not passing judgment on anybody. I'm not looking down on anybody. I'm looking at the Word and saying, Holy Spirit, let the Word come and grow me. Let the Word come and fill me and grow me to be the person that you've called me to be. And God, you're calling me to therefore go. You know, things can be holding us back from therefore going and taking the Word of Jesus to those in our community. You know, it might be the fear. I really felt just even right now before that fear is a big thing that holds us back from therefore going.
Yeah.
Fear of not succeeding. The fear of succeeding. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we tell ourselves, oh, it's the fear that it's not going to work out for whatever it is that you might be thinking of doing, whatever it is that you might feel you should do. And you say, oh, it's the fear that it might work, that it might not work out. But I actually think a lot of times it's the fear that it will work out.
Yeah.
And it's the change of what that means. You know, the fear that, oh, you know, I would go and pursue that ministry, you know, that God's calling me to, but I'm afraid that if I step out, it's not going to work well. Well, it might be the fear that if you step out and it does work well and your whole life needs to change because God's calling you into bigger things and it can be scary. And right back here is comfortable and this is what I know and my life as I know it. You know, humans are incredibly intrinsically resistant to change. You know, with any kind of change, it's like you get set in your new normal. And it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. You know, we went through years of COVID as a whole world. But in Australia, we had some really intense conditions we were living in and lockdowns. And I felt like a lot of the thing was a constant change of what we were allowed to do and not do. And you would just get used to one thing and then something would change. And it's like, oh, I've just set my own normal of what I'm used to doing. I'm not ready to change and to do something different. You know, we can be afraid of what that looks like. So sometimes you might say, oh, it's a fear that something will not work out, but it might be the fear that it will work out if you check your heart and you're not ready for what that looks like. You're not ready for what that looks like. Oh, I would do that, but. A fear of people leaving, a fear of being judged, a fear of not being cool. You know, I was thinking the other day, we're talking, we're on a train and we're talking about, you know, I haven't taken public transport in a long time and we're sort of talking back to when you're in high school and you take the bus and take the tram to places and on the bus, I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but on the bus, you know, in high school you'd get on the bus and there was just this, nobody said anything. Nobody said, you're in high school now, here's the hierarchy of the rules of the bus. But everyone just knew. You just knew that if you were cool, you sat at the back. Second half of the bus was for the cool people, and the ultra cool people, you were in the back row. The back row was like sacred ground for coolness as a teenager. I don't know, did anyone else have that growing up? And it's like the back row, it was like, I have made it in the cool factor, you know, in high school. I imagine is what they felt because I never felt that. I was middle to front, generally. Sometimes I would just ease into the second half, but never, never further towards the back. I wasn't in that cool crowd. I was with the really, you know, cool students at the front that, you know, some would call teacher's pets. They weren't as cool. But, you know, so I don't know, but you just knew there was this hierarchy. And you know what? I was thinking the other day when we were on the train and we were sort of reminiscing about that. And I remember there was this time, so, you know, I graduated from school, went to uni, worked at some different places, and then I found my way back to the school that I grew up in and had graduated from, and I was working there now. I was working in administration there, and it was my first year there, and they were celebrating, they had a staff celebration, so they had hired a bus to take all the staff to this special lunch that we were going to. So we all get on the bus, and I just happened to be with a few of the cool staff, you know, as I'm getting on, and where I found myself was in the back row of the bus. Thank you. Justification for all those years of torment. I have made it to the back of the bus at my school. And I remember feeling pretty chuffed. All right, here I am. I'm in the back of the bus. And the Lord was, you know, speaking to me about this, and it's like, isn't it crazy? That even then, I've got this urge in me to belong in a cool group. I've got this need in me to want to be deemed cool by who knows who. Like, I don't even know who's passing out the cool badges, but somehow we're just craving it. Who's putting you in the category of cool or not cool? I don't know, but we're all craving to be in that side that's like, yeah, you're pretty good. You're in the cool crowd. And I was like, how ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how old I was, in my 20s. And here I am, pretty chuffed. And here I am in the back row of the bus, because the unspoken rule is this is where the fun people are. This is where the cool people are. You know, and I don't think I made it by my own merit. I think I just happened to walk into the bus in between the other cool people and found myself sitting there amongst everyone else. But there is something in us. There you go. Pastor Peter said for 6 years he rode the bus for high school and the back row was the coolest. Yeah. I bet you were right there in the back row, Pastor Peter. but there was some ridiculous need in me to want to belong, to want to feel like I'm approved. This need for approval from society around us. Can anyone relate to that need? There is something in humans that is desiring to belong. And I believe, I don't know, I don't have all the scripture backing, but I believe that it's the devil warping something that we were created to be. We were created to be children of God. We were created to belong in Him. So we are beings. We are eternal beings. And part of our being in creation is that there is a something in us that is created with a purpose to belong to God and to His family. And we're created to belong in God's family. But the enemy twists that, the world twists that, and that need for belonging gets put in all the wrong places. And we're wanting to belong in society, we're wanting to belong in our family, we're wanting to belong in a workplace, we're wanting to belong in a community. There's something in us that wants to be cool to people. There's something in us that wants the approval of others. There's something in us that wants somebody to go, yeah, they've done it right. Yeah, they're pretty great. There is something in us. And that desire, that fear, if we're not careful, really, really, really impacts us obeying this command of therefore go. Therefore go. Because He doesn't say therefore go and minister to all the cool people. He doesn't say therefore go, you will get to sit on the back of the bus because anyone who becomes a disciple of me is automatically cool. You know, often because, you know, I can't remember, was it Brooke who said it earlier? Like, often when you lift up the name of Jesus, it's the opposite effect. People suddenly get prickly around you because it's real and it's challenging them and it's convicting them. So you bring up Jesus to somebody and it causes all sorts of reactions because you're like, oh, you know, because there's something that is being challenged in them. The enemy is going to do all that he can. There's spiritual forces around trying to stop you. So bring up the name of Jesus and you will likely never be in the cool group. You'll likely not ever be deemed by the world cool. And you know, and if you haven't listened to it, go back. Our pastor preached an amazing series on the favor of God. And he talked about that very thing, that it's like, you know, you can be in the world system or you can be in God's system and say, well, I'm good by God. I'm cool by God. I'm in the favor system. It doesn't matter what the world labels me as. Amen. So therefore go. A need, a fear of what people are going to think. A fear of, will they think I'm crazy? A fear of, will I not belong anymore? A fear that if I go this path, somebody's going to drop off. One of my friends is going to drop off. A fear that I might lose relationships along the way. That can stop you if we're not careful. The fear. The fear of what people will think. What else can stop you? Busyness, life. The world is screaming at us to do 3 million things every second of our existence. You know, the other day I was at home, and often I equate my brain to, I don't know if you've ever seen my computer. My husband loves this. So if you go onto my computer internet browser, you can see about 38 tabs open all the time.
More than that.
More than 38. Okay, that's true. The one on my phone, I often reach the maximum, so I have to go through and delete it because it's like, I don't know, 200 or 300 or something is the maximum of, sorry, 500 or 500 tabs you can have open, and I quite often reach that maximum tab level, so I have to like close them all down. I have tabs open all the time. And yeah, thank you, Sheridan. Thank you. I see you. We have tabs open all the time. And often I say that is like my brain. I've just got like tabs open in my brain of things that I'm thinking about. This, that, do that. I've got to do this. You can see my notes app on my phone is just an explosion of my tabs in my brain of, do this, call this person, do that. Oh, I should do this. Should I do that? And the other day I was at home and I walked from our downstairs bathroom to the kitchen, which is maybe 10 steps. And I realized by the time I'd gone from the bathroom to the kitchen, that 10 steps, my brain had thought through about 14 different paths of things. I'd thought about, oh, I should wear this tomorrow. Oh, I should text my sister Brooke and see if she wants to do that. Oh, you know what? We should watch that movie. Actually, you know what? I better order some more detergent before I'm doing that. And I should do this and that. Oh, actually, and that reminds me of this. Oh, you know what? I could preach this. No, you know, I could do this. And by the time I'd reached that, I'd already gone through all of these amazing patterns in my mind of things. And that can be life. Life is full and busy, and you're always being screamed at things that you can do. And that really impacts the ability to therefore go. Jesus didn't say, therefore, when you have time in your schedule, go and make disciples. He didn't say, therefore, go and witness to that neighbor when you've got an evening free and nothing else on. He didn't say, oh, go and do that, but I recognize this is your dedicated rest time, so not on today. You can do it tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have boundaries or schedules, nothing of that. I'm saying these are things that if we're not careful, they can be excuses for what can be stopping us from therefore going and making disciples. Turn to the person next to you and say, therefore go.
Therefore go.
Now, say, I bet you sat on the back seat of the bus. So therefore go. Make disciples. You know what, church, we were last night in our prayer meeting, as we were praying and we've come to the end, and the word that we've been launched into something new. We've been launched. This is the launch. This is the start of what God is doing. I believe with all my heart, this word came up in my heart, and there was the concept of revival. 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 We've talked about it many times that this church has been talked about it, the church globally for centuries. Revival. You know what? The great thing about God is it can be a same word, but it can be for a season, and there can be a breath on it. And there can be a breath where it's like, this is something for this right now. And I believe this word of revival. Revival. What does revival mean? You know, when I looked it up, it talks about bringing back to life. Bringing back to life. Breathing new life. It talks about saying that when God, like a biblical revival, is that God breathing new life. It talks about vibrancy, fervency, a renewal, a restoration, restoring to what God has planned, a time of repentance, of coming before Him and repenting and bringing yourself back to God. Revival, breathing new life. A new fervency, a new hunger for God. Revival. You know, I've done first aid courses. I've done CPR. You know, when you're taught in CPR, the reason they do CPR because there's time. When somebody has had a medical emergency, there is a time where you can physically keep a heart going and bring new life into a body. I don't know all of the medical things. I'm just told this is what you do. Then the paramedics come and they take over. But there is a time where there's the concept of you're doing CPR to revive, to bring life into something. I believe God is bringing new life and revival, not only to you and to this church, but revival for us to take Jesus to our world, to therefore go and take Jesus to our community. Lord, it is time. I believe it is time to go. And you might have been sitting back, you might have been going, but I believe all of us can go more. I believe there is a new step, and I don't know if you've been sitting back. I know for me, I might have been sitting back, and there might be, you know, some excuses that I'm sitting behind. There might be justifications and reasons of why I'm not doing this. And God is saying, now is the time. Yeah. Now is the time. Yeah. Revival. We are speaking, breathing God's life, both into us as a church, but then taking Jesus to our world. Taking Jesus, making disciples. And last night at the prayer meeting, God gave Judah the prophetic word. And talked about, I'm paraphrasing, but a concept that came out was just go. It is time to go. Just do it. Just do it. Just do what God has called you to do. Just do it. What God has told you to do, it is time to just do it. You know, as I haven't had kids, but I know as parents that there are times when, you know, you can tell your kid to do something, they can have this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason, and you might give them a bit of a grace period to come up with all the reasons, but then there's a time when they go, okay, enough. Just do what I've told you to do. I see some parents laughing. You know, there might be some relating going on here. You know, just do it. I've been told as a child I had the incredible ability to negotiate. Yep. So they would say one thing and I would find another way around it. Yep. And I would find, okay, you know, I know you said this. I'll have no comments from my husband down the front row. Thank you very much. You know, you might be, I was redeemed from this. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm just a perfectly obedient. That's a whole another discussion. Anyway, as a child, I believe I had that ability to go, oh, you can do this. Oh, but how about, that's great, but maybe what if I did it this way? Or what if I just did it? I will do that, but I'll just do it my way or do it around here. And I would persist and persist and persist until at one point my parents would say, enough, Caitlin, just do what I've told you to do. Just do it. And I believe God can sometimes be like that. And maybe he's saying that to us right now. Yes, okay, there's a grace period. There's a this and that where he's got immense grace and his grace is never ending and his love never runs out. And it doesn't matter how many times you mess up, his love and grace will be there and that will never change. But sometimes there can be a time where God is saying, you know what, I've given some time, but now I'm saying just do it. Just do what I have called you to do. It is time. It is time. Don't think I've got all the time in the world. Act now. Now. It is time to go and make disciples. It is time for revival to come to this nation. It is time for revival to come to this community. It is time to bring Jesus to this world because Jesus is the reason. Jesus, we are called as Christians. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to Jesus, you are also saying right now, my one and most important call in my life is to now make disciples. Now that I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm now called to tell others about you, Jesus. Everything else comes secondary to me telling people about Jesus. And if I want to be your follower, Lord, that becomes above everything else, is to be your follower and to go and make disciples of Jesus. It is time for revival. Amen. This is a launching period. You might have been preparing for a long time. This might be your first Sunday in church, and it's fantastic, and this is a Sunday where you get the opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and bring Jesus to your families and your community. Making Jesus the Lord of your life is the very best decision you will ever make. Because it's not about you choosing a good path. It's about you coming before Jesus and being saved and set free as a sinner, coming before him and him saving and redeeming you and taking your burdens and taking your sins. It's the best thing that can ever happen. Yeah. And now we're called to bring Jesus to our world. You know, just from a really quick look, I'm talking for people right now in Australia. This church is in Bayswater. We're in called Eastern Suburbs in Melbourne. Just from a really quick search, so these are very rough estimates, But from the last census that was taken in eastern suburbs, it said in just the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, at least it was somewhere between 53 to 60% of people were not going to a church or not identifying as a Christian or any form, you know, of being a Christian. That's over 400,000 people just in our eastern region. If you look just to Bayswater, it said if approximately 60, 61% were saying they're non-Christians. That's at least 8,219 people as of, you know, that census date were saying they don't currently know Jesus or don't currently go to church. And I say, oh God, I would, but there's no one in my life I can tell about Jesus. There's 8,000 people right around me right now. Oh God, I would, but I'm not in a mission field. There's 8,000 people right at my doorstep. Oh God, I would do that. But, you know, I work in a Christian workplace. I'm at the church a lot, you know. My role is to facilitate it, really. My role is to do the work here for others to go. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read in the Bible where it says, therefore, if you have been given the calling to go, then some will be called to stay back at the church. He said, therefore, to all of them, go. Yeah. I'm like, Lord, what's my excuse? Yeah. I was speaking to another pastor recently of a different church, and they were saying the same thing. They're saying sometimes it's like, it's hard to this, hard to that. It's like, hang on. How many people around us just right now don't know about Jesus or have the opportunity to hear about him? What's our excuse? Therefore, go. Church, I believe it's time for revival. Amen. I believe it is time for revival. There you go. Pastor Peter just said, I love preaching with him online. He said, just do it. Jesus told the churches in Revelation that they had to be victorious. The Greek word is from Nike. Wonder where they got this from. Nike. So we are to just do it. Just do it. Just go. I believe God wants to bring revival, amen, new life, a vibrancy, a hunger for him. Firstly, I believe he wants to breathe new life into Breakthrough Church. I believe he wants to breathe new life into each and every person here, each and every person connecting online. I believe he wants to breathe new life. You might say, God, where do I need new life breathed in? Where might I have been feeling weary? Where might I have been feeling, you know, feeling like I'm going through the motions? There is no judgment. Like I said, this is an opportunity to come and let the word come and work in our hearts. Where might you be needing new life breathed in? God's saying, I'm here to breathe new life. I'm here to breathe a new hunger. I'm here to breathe a new life and a hunger into you. But it's not just for revival. You know, we were talking about last night, Chris was saying revival starts in the church because it starts in our hearts, but it doesn't just stay there. It's for us to then therefore go. To therefore go. And I see revival in this community. Who are the people in your community? Who are the people that God has placed you with? Who are your neighbors? Who are your work colleagues? Who are the people that you pass on the street? Who are the people that you see in the grocery store? That's your community. They're people that you can therefore go and bring the good news of Jesus. Just do it. Just invite them to church. Just do it. Just go and tell them about Jesus. Oh, they might not like it. Oh, they might not want to hear. I'm not saying be silly. I'm not saying go and Bible bash. No, Jesus came in love to set free and restore. Everywhere Jesus went in the Bible, great things happened. He came and there was restorations and healings and miracles, and people were hearing about it and wanting to come, because everywhere Jesus came, he brought freedom and life. So when I'm saying therefore go, I'm saying go and bring, do what Jesus did. Go and bring life and freedom. Go and bring the message of love. Go and tell people that it doesn't matter. You don't have to keep striving because God loves you. Amen. You don't have to be enough because Jesus was enough, amen, for you. You know what? You don't have to keep battling with that because there is freedom and healing in Jesus. Amen. It is time for revival, not just in the church, but revival in our city. Revival in our nation. Tina, you can come up and start playing. But I believe there are two things I want to say about this for revival. Two things. You say, well, how can I do that? How can I therefore go? It's easy to say, go therefore, but you know what? It's what Jesus said. Don't overcomplicate it. If he said go therefore sometimes, it just means to go. Therefore, go and pray for somebody. Go and do this. Go and tell them about God. Therefore, go. But you might say, oh, how do we do this? Well, there are two things I have in my heart. Number one, there's a purifying, there's a consecration before the Lord, there's a cleansing, there's a calling to come up higher. I believe, and that was coming out last night, that there was a call for us to see revival. God is calling you to come up higher in Him. God is calling you maybe to shed some things of the world. You know, it says in Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I will find it. Here we go. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Church, to bring Jesus and to go therefore, there is things that you have to strip off and that you have to leave behind. I believe God is calling us right now to a moment of coming up higher in Him. This is a launching. This is a launching. Don't let it be a launching being the same person you were 3 weeks ago. Don't let it be a launching the same person you were yesterday. Say, this is a moment, God, I want to come up higher. I want to come up higher in You. I want to strip things off that are weighing me down. I want to come up higher to You, because that is a journey that doesn't stop until you get to eternity. You keep going and you keep going higher and higher in God, and there will be more purifying and cleansing and things that the Lord is bringing down. So I'm going to ask you this morning, in order to therefore go, what is it that you might need to leave behind? I'm not saying it could be sin, but I'm not just talking about sin. I'm saying there are things that God's saying, in order to be used by Me, I need you to come up higher. It might be saying, you know what, I'm calling you to more time with Me. I'm calling you to get up early. Oh, you wouldn't say sacrifice sleep, Lord. Yes, He would. He might be calling you to spend more time. He said, I want you to come and just spend time in My presence every morning. Or He might say, you know what, you used to do all these other things. I'm going to ask you to stop that, because I need you to come and be ready to hear from Me and be ready to be used by Me. There might be things that's like, you know what, oh, I used to watch that, but I don't watch that anymore because that's just pulling me down. I used to say these things. I used to shoot my mouth off. Yeah, that's great. But if I want to therefore go, I want to be called higher. So Lord, I'm gonna come up some train. I'm gonna train my mouth and say, no, God, this is the time. I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna take hold of this habit. Whatever it might be, what is holding you back? Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness. To therefore go and be launched, there are things you're gonna have to leave behind. Just leave it behind. Oh, but that person, they did this and that. Just forget about it. Leave it behind. Just go and run before looking at Jesus. Stop looking at them and all these people. Just go, run towards Jesus. Maybe you've just got to leave that unforgiveness there. Oh, but people have said this and this word, they've spoken this over me and I'm not sure. Oh, just leave it behind and just go. That insecurity that it might have been crippling you, I believe there's time right now to say, God, this is the time I want to see freedom from that, because I want to come up higher in You. I want to come up higher in You. He'll be calling you to lay things aside, to come up higher in Him. And the second thing to say, or to go, therefore, revival. How do we do this? It seems this great world. Oh, there's 8,000 people right around me. God, where do I start? What do I do? There was a concept that God gave me many years ago, and we did a series on it at church, and it was called Mission One. And it said, instead of looking at all the 8,000 saying, oh, all these people, just look at the one. Look at the one person in front of you. It can seem daunting. Oh, Lord, there's so many things I need to do. No, 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 no. Just look at the one. Look at the one person. Look at the person that's right in front of you. And how can I be Jesus to them today? How can I minister Jesus to them today? You know, when you're going through your grocery store, maybe it's just that one person at the counter. And I'm not saying you stop and give the gospel. I'm saying let the Holy Spirit guide you. And maybe just in that moment you say, God, how can I be Jesus to this person right now? How can I minister your love to them right now? This one person. You know, it says in the Bible, if you were the only one, I gave, there's a beautiful parable where Jesus was talking about a shepherd and how he had 100 sheep, but one went off missing. So that shepherd left the 99 sheep to go after the one. And it talks about the fact that Jesus came to earth to die. And he said, yes, he died for everyone. But he said, even if you were the only one, Jesus would have come to die for you because you mean that much to him. Because your life means that much to him. That if you were the only one that needed saving, Jesus would have come. Because he loves you so much. And we need to have that love for the one. To say, even this, let me see every person in my community, every person in my life as ones that Jesus came for. Let me see this person not as just a person, but as the one that Jesus left heaven to come down to save because he loves them so much. Think of the one person that you could minister Jesus to. Think of the one person you could pray for or pray with. Go about your week and say, Lord, let me see the ones in front of me. Let me see the ones in front of me. Let me see the one that I can go and therefore make disciples. Them coming to Jesus is not your responsibility, but our responsibility is to go and to tell them about Jesus. To go and to spread, be Jesus to those in our community. Therefore, go. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand with me, if you can, in the room? Thank you, Lord. Church, I believe this is time for revival. I believe this is time for revival. I believe this is time where Jesus wants to take you higher than you've ever been before, where God wants to do things in your life. I believe you're not here by accident. You are here for such a time as this. You, your life, God has brought you here for such a time as this. You are not here by mistake. You are not where you are by mistake. God has a plan and a purpose for you. He wants to use you. He wants to bring you higher to him. He wants to breathe new life into your heart. I don't care if you've been a Christian your whole life or you've been a Christian for one day. God wants to breathe new life into you. Because until eternity, that's part of the process. Continually, the Lord breathing into us and we're becoming more and more like him and filling ourselves with more of him, going higher in him. I believe God wants to breathe new life in you. And I believe he's calling us to go, therefore, and calling you to go, therefore, into your world and make disciples. Go, therefore. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always till the end of the age. Jesus is with you. He's saying he's with us. Go, therefore. Thank you, Lord. Can we just sing a chorus?